Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem, by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Zeirah and Daf Tzadikches. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadikches on the base stated, "Yamud ad Rishus Yachid v'yashin Rishus Aravim." A person may not stand in Rishus Yachid and urinate into Rishus Aravim, and Rishus Aravim yashin Rishus Yachid, or stand in Rishus Aravim and urinate into Rishus Yachid. V'ken ol Yarok. And similarly, one may not spit from one Rishus to another. On this Daf, Rav Yosef said, "Hishtin v'rok chayv chatas." One who did urinate or spit from one rishus to another is chai v'chatas. The Gemara challenged Rav Yosef's ruling. But in regards to Otsa, we require that akir and hanacha be performed on an area that is 4 tefachim square, which is a significant area, and therefore in this case where it is not coming from a place that is 4 tefachim, there is no act of akira. The Gemara answers that his machshava mashvi le'makom, his intent makes it a significant area, meaning that since he intended that this object leave this particular place, this place becomes significant, and therefore his action of Akira is considered a halachic act of Akira. Point number two, Reish Lakish said, Kiach b'fnei rabu chai misa. One who coughs up phlegm in the presence of his Rebbe is liable to misa de b'shamayim, as it says, Kol masanai ahavu mavis. All those who hate me, the Torah, love death. Al tikrei l'masanai, do not read it as it's written, those who hate me, elamasni I, rather, those who cause others to hate me. If a Talmud acts in such a vulgar manner, he'll cause people to hate Hashem. The Gemara clarifies that we're discussing someone who coughed up phlegm and spat it out in front of his teacher when he could have turned aside or coughed up phlegm into a cloth. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, called Adamin Machzilo Lamatim Yudfachim. A person standing in Rishus Aravim may hold up a vessel in the air and catch water that is falling from a gutter which is lower than 10 tefachim from the ground. The Gemara says, and the Mishnah implies, called In of a Mitzar flow. Catching the water in midair as it falls from the gutter is permitted, but pressing one's mouth or vessel to the gutter is not. The Gemara asks why the latter is forbidden, and Rav Nachman answers, Hacha b'machzila pakas m'shloisha samach l'gagaskinen. We're dealing here with a gutter that is less than 3 tefachim from the roof of the building. To call pakas m'shloisha samach l'gag, k'gagdami. And anything less than 3 tefachim from the roof has the status of the roof itself, based on Lavad. Therefore, anyone who takes directly from the gutter while standing in Rishus Aravim is chai for transferring from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Aravim. So once again, the three points are number one. The Mishnah on Daf Tzadikches on Beis stated, "Yamud Adam Rishus Yachid v'yashin Rishus Aravim." A person may not stand in Rishus Yachid and urinate into Rishus Aravim, or Rishus Aravim v'yashin Rishus Yachid, or stand in Rishus Aravim and urinate into Rishus Yachid, v'chen will yarek. And similarly, one may not spit from one Rishus to another. On this Daf, Rav Yosef said, "Hishtin v'rak chayv chatas." One who did urinate or spit from one Rishus to another is chayv chatas. The Gemara challenged Rav Yosef's ruling, but in regards to Hatzah, we require that an Akira and Hanacha be performed on an area that is 4 tefachim square, which is a significant area. And therefore, in this case, where it is not coming from a place that's 4 tefachim, there is no act of Akira. The Gemara answers that his machshava mashpi le'makom, his intent makes it a significant area, meaning that since he intended that this object leave this particular place, this place becomes significant, and therefore his action of Akira is considered a halachic act of Akira. Point number two, Reish Lakish said, Kiach b'fnei rabo chai misa. One who coughs up phlegm in the presence of his Rebbe is liable to death b'dei shemayim, as it says, Kol masanai havu mavis. All those who hate me, meaning the Torah, love death. Al tikri l'masanai, do not read it as it's written, those who hate me, ela l'masni I, rather those who cause others to hate me. If a Talmud acts in such a vulgar manner, will cause people to hate Kosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara clarifies that we're discussing someone who coughed up phlegm and spat it out in front of his teacher when he could have turned aside or coughed up the phlegm into a cloth. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, called Adamin Machzilu Lamatim Yitfachim, a person standing in Rishus Aravim may hold up a vessel in the air and catch water that is falling from a gutter which is lower than 10 tefachim from the ground. The Gemara says that the Mishnah implies called In of a Mitzar Flow. Catching the water in midair as it falls from the gutter is permitted, but pressing one's mouth or a vessel to the gutter is not. The Gemara asks why the latter is forbidden, and Rav Nachman answers that we're dealing here with a gutter that's less than 3 tefachim from the roof of the building, and anything less than 3 tefachim from the roof has the status of the roof itself, based on Lavad. Therefore, anyone who takes directly from the gutter while standing in Rishus Aravim is chai for transferring from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Aravim. All right, so now we go to the Siman for Daf Tzadikches, and the Siman is a cheetah for Tzadikches. So here goes. While one cheetah chased an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus Yachid into Rishus Aravim right in front of his Rebbe, a second one pursued his friend who drank water directly from the gutter, less than 3 tefachim from the roof. Once again in slow motion. While one cheetah, that must be more on Daf tzadites. While one should have chased an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabin, which reminds us, Rav Yosef said that one who urinated or spat from one Rishus to another is chayv achatas, the Gemara challenged Rav Yosef, saying in regards to Hotzah, we require that a kira hanacha be performed on an area that is four tefachim square, which is a significant area, and therefore in this case, where it's not coming from a place that's four tefachim, there is no act of a kira. And the Gemara answered that his intent makes it a significant area, meaning that since he intended that this object leave this particular place, this place becomes significant, and therefore his action of a kira is considered a halachic act of a kira. So while one cheetah chased an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabim, right in front of his Rebbe, which reminds us that Reish Lakish said, the one who coughs up phlegm in the presence of his Rebbe is liable to death, the hands of heaven, because a Talmud who acts in such a vulgar manner will cause people to hate Hashem. And the Gemara clarifies, we're discussing someone who coughed up phlegm and spat in front of his Rebbe when he could have turned aside and coughed up the phlegm into a cloth. So while one cheetah chased an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabim, right in front of his Rebbe, a second one pursued his friend who drank water directly from the gutter, less than three tefachim from the roof. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that a person standing in Rishus Rabim may hold up a vessel in the air and catch water that's falling from a gutter which is lower than 10 tefachim from the ground. The Gemara says, and the Mishnah implies, that catching the water in mid-air as it falls from the gutter is permitted, but pressing one's mouth or vessel to the gutter is not. The Gemara asks why the latter is forbidden. Rav Nachman answers, we're dealing here with a gutter that's less than 3 tefachim from the roof of the building. Anything less than 3 tefachim from the roof has the status of the roof itself, based on Lavid. Therefore, anyone who takes their refuge from the gutter while standing in Rishus Rabim is chayav for transferring from Rishus Yachid to a Rishus Rabim. So once again, while one cheetah chased an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabim right in front of his Rebbe, a second one pursued his friend who drank water directly from the gutter less than 3 tefachim from the roof. All right, now it's time for a 4 blot back chazara. Dav Tzadihei. So the Simra Dav Tzadihei is a Tzahal tank commander. So here goes. The tank commander, that must be on Dav Tzadihei. The tank commander parked his tank under the second story over two houses on opposite sides of Rishus Rabim, which reminds us. The last mission of the Perek states, Habon Ali al Gabishnei Batim. If one builds a second story over two houses that are on opposite sides of Rishus Rabim, one is permitted to carry underneath his upper floor, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim disagree and say that it's usher to carry there. Rabbi explains that the reason Rabbi Yehuda permits it is not because he holds that two walls, meaning the sides of each building, are a proper mechitza, midaraisa, but rather because he holds that pitikri yod v'sosem. We look at the ends of the upper floor as if walls are extending downwards from it. Therefore, there are actually four walls. Rabbi explained to Abai that while it's true that it's known from a braisa that Rabbi Yehuda does hold that two walls create a mechitza midaraisa, when he had said that this is not the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda, he meant to say that you cannot positively see that from our Mishnah, as Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning in our Mishnah may be because he holds that pitikri yod v'sosem. So the tank commander parked his tank under the second story over two houses on opposite sides of Rishus Rabim when he noticed some tefillin and kameyas in a field, which reminds us, the opening mission of the 10th Perek states, Hamotzi tefillin, one who finds tefillin on Shabbos in a field where one is not permitted to carry and where the tefillin are in danger of being destroyed, machnisan zug zug, he should bring them in pair by pair. Rashi explains that he should put them on as if he's doing the mitzvah one at a time and continue this process until he's brought in all the pairs of tefillin. Rabbi Gamliel disagrees and says that one must put on two of the shel rosh on his head and two of the shel yad on his arm and bring them into his house in that manner. The Mishnah adds that one does this on Shabbos if it's clear that these tefillin were real. If they appear to be just kameyas, then one may not carry them on Shabbos in order to save them from desecration. So the tank commander parked his tank under the second story over two houses on opposite sides of Rishus Rabim when he noticed some tefillin and kameyas in a field and had his crew wear two pairs of the tefillin each to bring back into the houses. Which reminds us that the Gemara adds that if Rabbi Gamliel holds the reason one is allowed to bring in tefillin by wearing them is Shabbos' man tefillinu, then he should only permit wearing one pair of tefillin at a time. And if he holds that Shabbos loves man tefillinu, and it's only for the purpose of saving tefillin that the Rabbanim permitted transporting them in the form of attire, then he should be allowed to wear and transport even more than two pair at a time. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Gamliel holds Shabbos loves man tefillinu. However, the reason he cannot wear more than two pairs is that the Rabbanim permitted wearing tefillin in the manner of attire for saving them, but makum tefillin, in the place where tefillin is supposed to be worn. The Gemara concludes that there is place on the head for two pairs of tefillin and place on the arm for two pairs to be worn. Dav Tzadivav. So the Simra Dav Tzadivav is a town crier. So here goes. The town crier. That must be more on Dav Tzadivav. The town crier who proudly proclaimed, Shabbos is an os, no tefillin today, which reminds us. The Gemara tries to determine who the Tana is who holds Shabbos Zman Tefillin. One is obligated to put on Tefillin on Shabbos and suggests that it's Rabbi Akiva. This is rejected based on a brace of the Torah. Rabbi Akiva says, Yachol yaniach adam tefillin b'shabbas yamim tovim. One might think that a person must put on tefillin on Shabbos yamim tovim. Talmud Omer v'ayel ochel ha'oz ha'yadcha, and it shall be a sign to you upon your arm. Misha tzrichin oz. On those days that you need a sign, tefillin must be worn. Yatzu eil she'en gufan oz. But excluded are those days which themselves are a sign. Shabbos is called an oz, and since Yantav is called the Shabbos, it is likewise considered an oz. So the town crier who proudly proclaimed, Shabbos is an oz, no tefillin today, was shocked when he saw the king's daughter walk by wearing tefillin. Which reminds us, Abraisa states, Micho bas Kushi haisa menachas tefillin v'lo michu b'chachamim. Micho, the daughter of Kushi, who Rashi explains to Shaul, would wear tefillin. And the sages did not protest. The Gemara infers from here that since women are only obligated in Mrs. Aseh Shaul's mangrama, positive mitzvahs that are not time-bound, and are not obligated in positive mitzvahs which are time-bound, by the fact that Micho wore tefillin and the Chachamim didn't protest, which Rashi explains to mean that they didn't see this as if she's adding a mitzvah to the Torah, we see that the mitzvah of tefillin applies at all times. This means that the Tana of this Braisa holds that the mitzvah of tefillin also applies at night and on Shabbos, as otherwise it would be a mitzvah at a set time. The Gemara concludes that there's no proof for this because there's a Tana of Rabbi Yossi who holds that although women are not obligated to do time-bound mitzvahs, they are also not prohibited from doing them. So it might be that the Tana of this Braisa holds that tefillin are not worn at night or on Shabbos, and it's therefore a Mrs. Asisha's mangrama. However, Micha was still permitted to wear tefillin if she chose. So the town crier who proudly proclaimed Shabbos is an oath, no tefillin today, was shocked when he saw the king's daughter walk by wearing tefillin, carrying twine threads of tchelis that were cut into pieces that she found in the marketplace. Which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said, Hamotzi tchelis min hashukim, one finds tchelis in a marketplace. Lashonos psulos chutin kasherin. If the tchelis he finds are strips of wool, which is combed and colored, it's pasul, and if it's just strings, it's kosher. Rashi explains that the reason the colored wool is pasul is because we're concerned that l'tzav l'shem tzitzis, it was not colored with the intention of being for tzitzis, and the lack of intention makes the tzitzis pasul. The Gemara asks that in the case where he finds wool strings, they too should be pasul, being that maybe the strings were spun with the intention to make them into clothing. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Elazar was discussing a case of strings that were shazuring twine and cut into pieces. People would never go to the bother of reattaching short threads and then weave them onto the border of a garment. Daf Sadi Zayin. So the Simfer Daf Sadi Zayin is a chess master. Chess master. So here goes. The confused chess master. Chess master. That must be one Daf Sadi Zayin. The confused chess master who just purchased tefillin from a non-expert, which reminds us. Rav Chisda said in the name of Rab, Halokeach tefillin mimi she'eino mumcha. One who purchases many pairs of tefillin from someone who is not an expert in the laws of tefillin, which Rashi explains to mean a middleman who purchased them from someone else. Bodek shtayim shel yad va'akash shel rosh. He must examine two arm tefillin and one head tefillin, or shtayim shel rosh va'akash shel yad, or two head tefillin and one arm tefillin to determine their validity. The Gemara clarifies that the middleman bought the tefillin from one person, and we must establish that the sofer who wrote them is expert in both arm and head tefillin. Rav Kahana brought a brisa that one need only check two tefillin, one arm and one head. And the Gemara answers that the brisa follows Rebbe, who says, "Betray zimni havi chazaka. A chazak is established upon the occurrence of an act two times." Rebbe concedes that if someone bought several bundles that come from different sofrim, then a chazaka needs to be established for each one. So the confused chess master who had just purchased tefillin from a non-expert was told to take three steps at a time and keep stopping, which reminds us. The Gemara clarified that according to the Tanakhama of the Mishnah Daf Tzadi Heim of Beis regarding finding tefillin in the field, if the danger is posed by sakanas listim, highwaymen, malichim pachas pachas ma'arba amos, then one should transport all the tefillin by walking less than four amos at a time. Rabbi Shimon says, Nosin l'chavero v'chavero l'chavero. One should pass the tefillin from person to person until one reaches the city. The Gemara explains that the Tanakhama holds walking less than Daud Amos is preferable, since with the method of passing from one person to another, Ashva Milsa the Shabbos, the matter of disrespect for Shabbos, is needlessly publicized. Rabbi Shimon holds it's preferable to pass from one person to the next, since there's concern with the method of walking less than Daud Amos that one might not realize and come to carry Daud Amos in Meshus Rabbin. So the confused chess master who just purchased tefillin from a non-expert was told to take three steps at a time and keep stopping, and to ignore the line of people passing a barrel of freshly drawn water. Which reminds us, it was stated in the Mishnah Daf Tzadi Heim Amud Beis, that Rav Yehuda said, Nosin Adam Chavis, a person may give a barrel containing water to his friend, and his friend to his friend, even if the barrel is transported beyond the owner's tchum. The Gemara asks, if Rav Yehuda does not accept what was learned in the Mishnah in Beya, Habahema v'kelim karagli abalim, animals and kelim are as the feet of their owners, meaning they may not be carried beyond where the owners may go. After the first answer was rejected, Rava answered that the Mishnah was dealing with a barrel that acquired its makum shvisa and chum of the owner, but the water had not, since it was drawn from a spring or river on Shabbos or Yantav. Transporting the barrel beyond the chum is not problematic, the batel chavis l'gavi yamim, since the legal significance of the barrel is negated vis-a-vis the water. The barrel is tafel to the water. A third answer is also provided. Dav Tzadiches. So the symbol of Dav Tzadiches is clowns. Chok, clowns. Here goes. The circus clowns. Clowns. That must mean we're on Dav Tzadiches. The circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine, well, one set on any skupa, which reminds us. The Mishnah on the bottom of Dav Tzadik Zayin Beis stated, if one was reading a scroll on a threshold, and one end of the scroll rolled from his hand and landed in Rishus of Rabin below, he may roll it into himself. The Gemara asks, Hai skupa hechidami, what's the case of the threshold? The Gemara suggests that the threshold is a Rishus Yachid. It's 4x4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim high, and the sefer rolled into the Rishus of Rabim in front of it. Even though there's concern that the scroll might fall out of his hands into the Rishus of Rabim, and he might come to bring it from the Rishus of Rabim back onto the threshold, we're not gozer the Rabban, because Rav Yehuda says the ratio of the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who holds, Kol davar shehu mishum shvus, eino omed b'fnei kisvei kodesh. No law, which is only of rabbinic origin, stands in the way of treating kisvei kodesh with their due respect. The Gemara brings two more approaches. So the circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine while one sat on a skupa and the other read up on the roof, which reminds us, the next case in the Mishnah stated, Hayikorib Rosh Agag, Viniskal Gosef Miyadu, if one was reading a scroll on a roof and it rolled into Rishus Rabin below, Mishiagia Lasar Tfachim Hofcha Oksav, if it reached within 10 Tfachim of the ground, he may not roll it in. Rather, he should turn it over on its written side so that the lettering is unexposed and leave it there until after Shabbos. The Gemara asks if it's permitted to turn Kisvei Kodesh over on the written side based on a brace at the Tat, Kosvei Svarim Tefillin Mezuzahs. Those who write Sifrei Torah Tefillin Mezuzahs are not allowed to turn the parchment face down to protect the lettering from dust, or Poros Aleh as a Beged, but rather one should spread a garment over it. The Gemara answers that the brace is talking about where it's possible to cover the written side with a garment, but in the Mishnah's case it's not possible since it would require a very large garment. And if he doesn't turn it over on the written side, Eikem Bizyon Kisvei Kodesh Tfei. It'll be a greater disgrace to the Kisvei Kodesh than if he were to turn it over and conceal the writing. So the circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine, while one sat on a skupa and the other read up on the roof, as a third clown kept dropping his glass utensils that he put out on the window ledge. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ziz shulifnei chalon nosin alav menot mimenu b'shabbos. If there were a ledge 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim off the ground, in front of a window, one who is in the building may put things on it and remove things from it on Shabbos. The Gemara asks what type of Roshus the Ziz was extending into. If it was Roshus Rabim, there should be a concern that something might fall off the edge and someone might come to bring it back in the Roshus Yachid. Abai answers that the ledge is extending into Roshus Rabim, and the Mishnah was referring to Kelim and Shibarim, breakable utensils such as earthenware or glass. Since they'll break if they fall off, there's no concern that someone will retrieve them. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions of Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1. Which have to learn that a gutter that is 3 tefachim or less from the roof of a building is considered part of the roof due to lava? That's on Daf Tzadik Tes. Good, number 2. Which have to we discuss purchasing tefillin from someone who is not an expert? That's on Daf Tzadik Zayin. Good, number 3. Which have to learn that a Talmud who coughs up phlegm in front of his Rebbe is considered vulgar and causes others to come to hate Torah? That's on Daf Tzadik Tes. Good, number 4. Which stuff do we discuss carrying under a second story over two houses that are on opposite sides of Rishus of Rabim? That's on Daf Tzadihei. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we know that one is chai for urinating or spitting from one Rishus to another? That's on Daf Tzadites. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we discuss whether one can use tchelas found in the marketplace for tzitzis? That's on Daf Sarivav. Good, number 7. Which stuff do we learn? According to Rav Yehuda, the Yeskupa was a Rishus Yachid, and that one can roll the scroll back because it's Kisvei Kodesh. That's on Daf Tzadiches. Good, number 8. Which stuff do we learn regarding how to transport tefillin from the field, whether walking less than Dalad Amos is preferred or passing from person to person? That's on Daf Tzadizayin. Good, number 9. Which stuff do we learn that Rabbi Kiva holds that Shabbos is Rav Zman tefillin, because tefillin is only worn on days that are not an os? That's on Daf Tzadivav. Good. And number 10, which daf to be Malkos from Rabbi Yezra and the Chacham regarding a chatzer that is breached into Rishus of Rabbim? That's on Daf Tzadidal. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1, which daf to discuss carrying in a roofed Rishus of Rabbim? That's on Daf Hey and Shabbos. Good. Number 2, which daf to learn that one can borrow certain items on Shabbos if he says Hashileini, not Halveini? That's on Daf Kuf Mem Ches and Shabbos. Good. And number three, which daf do we have regarding whether Kriyashma is a Deraisa or the Rabbanan? That's on daf Chaf Aleph and Brachas. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldem Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.